You are listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor, a hardcore look at LOTRO from a casual point of view.
A Casual Stroll to Mordor is brought to you by Doghouse Systems. Use the code 2MORDOR on checkout and get twice the RAM. Max out the RAM and use the code 2MORDOR, and you will get some money back. Also, it helps out the show. I'm not going to lie. We get a nice commission for that.
Yeah, that's the whole point of us telling you how awesome it is.
Yeah.
I have one.
Yeah. I will get one sometime. Maybe. In the future.
It's a plan.
But it's a plan, but
first we have to go to Texas.
Yes, my parents ruining everything.
They're not ruining everything. They want to see us.
Yeah. No, they have good options. They have good stuff. And if you want advice on what to get, I would be more than happy to tell you. And actually, it's funny. We're talking about laptops. I don't know if I told you. I think I told you this. Oh, yeah, I did. And then you got mad at me.
I didn't get mad at you. I asked you a stupid question.
That new egg thing that the laptop that a user told us about. My dad's getting that same laptop.
Yeah, the $800 one we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Yep. I'm like, Dad, it'll work for you. And no, you don't have to spend, you don't have to get a big Dell like the guy down the hall did, like you did. So
the guy down the hall.
Yeah, that's what he told me. He's like, some guy down the hall spent a whole bunch of money on a laptop. Do I need to? No, Dad.
Why does his office make them buy their own laptops?
I don't know. Because they're not like a rich law firm. They're just a law firm. All right. So this is A Casual Stroll to Mordor, and we are a podcast about Lord of the Rings Online. This is episode 183, ever so close to 200.
Inching closer every week.
So close, yet so far.
So those listening live, we are on Friday night, not Saturday night. So if you looked for us on Saturday and couldn't find anybody, that's why. We are going out to dinner, and we are true hobbits, and we'll reschedule our lives around going to someone's dinner party.
Yes, we will. there I am on the screen. Yes, I'm trying out the webcam that my parents got me for Christmas.
Oh. Do not put me on it.
You're not. I did put you on it. You're like, why would you do that? Yeah, I told her she needs to wear the ninja mask again.
I need to because it's cold down here.
Now I'm distracted by looking at myself at the in the camera.
Yeah, you do that.
All right, so what did you do this week?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was distracted by looking at you in the camera.
I need better mic position.
I do too. Okay. Anyway, this week, I did a skirmish raid with the kinship. I won some really pretty shoulders. If you don't believe me, go check on Google+ or on Facebook because I posted them. They are adorable. Even though Ebo told me that I look like a peeled banana, he is lying. I look awesome.
You look like a peeled banana. Did you post a screenshot?
I just said I posted it on Google+ and Facebook.
It's social websites.
They're golden and they're beautiful. I don't know what they're called. I don't remember what they're called, but I got them in the Dannenglore. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, like Escape from Dannenglore or something like that. It's one of the Mirkwood ones.
Shut up, Ebo. They are not banana shoulders.
All right, we obviously need to we need to adjust the limiter on your side of the input on the limiter gate.
Shoulders of the magic banana. I'll take those. That's what they're called. Shoulders of the magic banana.
They don't really look like bananas.
He says I look like a peeled banana, like the banana is coming. I can see it. But anyway, I love them. I'm in love with them. They're beautiful. I also got some LI thing in the raid.
The Starlight Crystal, the LI thing.
Wasn't excited about it. I didn't even know I got it till the end. I was like cleaning out my inventory and I was like, oh, I got one of these things. That's cool. The funny thing is, though, we finished Dannenglore and like They had us all roll to see who was going to have first choice on the stuff. And I rolled really high. Like, I was like second or third. I don't remember which, but I was like up there. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get those shoulders.
Right.
So excited. And the leader was like, so-and-so pick. And everybody's like, I want a relic. I want a... And I'm like, nobody's even looking at how beautiful these shoulders are. These shoulders are totally mine. I'm so excited. He accidentally skipped me. He like didn't see my number was high enough. So he went like to the next one in line. And I'm like, it's okay. Nobody's going to pick these. Everybody wants the relics or whatever. And then he skipped me again. And so I finally started freaking out. I'm like, I rolled an 86 and I want those shoulders. And he apologized. He didn't do it on purpose, obviously, but he was right. Like, well, here's your shoulders that nobody else wants, freak.
Well, you should
he didn't always. Say that, but that was the sound I got in my head when he handed them to me.
You just speak up. Nobody's going to get mad at you.
Well, I wasn't. Nobody wanted them anyway. I'm pretty sure that even if I had rolled a one, I would have been given them. But I was like so excited because I'm like, oh, I got a good number. I'm totally gonna get the thing I want. Anyway, so that happened. I worked on Hypebolt again this week. I completely cheated. Did the beacon quest when a Cappy named Steffi said anybody want to summon to the top of the beacon, and I was like, sold. So I have now completed that quest and do not have to worry about it. I am a dirty, dirty cheater, but I also averted what is, I am told, a horrible quest. I'm happy.
Yeah, I've done that one. I don't really like it.
I've never tried it.
I've gotten up like halfway and then I'm like, oh, this is ridiculous. So yeah, I am a hobbit. And Andy B says jump at the top of the beacon is very close to being too high for a hobbit. It's just, it's kind of annoying.
When I got up there, I was like, okay, now how do I get down? Because they just summoned me to the top. Anyway, thank you, Steffi, the captain on Landerville.
Can your captain summon? Can captain summon at like 31? Because if so, I'm going to log on my captain, get summoned up there, then summon your captain up there. And then when I get it there, I'll
captain, have someone. Dueling summon captain.
And then when it's up again, I don't have to wait for somebody. I can just log you in and summon myself up there, and I'll be done, and I'll never have to do it again.
But or how can she not craft all the stuff that I don't craft with her if she's on top of the beacon?
Ah, Krell says you have to be 60 just to be summoned to Rohan. Lame.
I have a traveler's writ.
That's all right.
Okay. But I do.
Ebo says, take your 31 captain there and summon people for gold. And Krell says the writ works.
I told you.
Well, we'll think about it. What else did you do?
Dumb time. We broke into two groups to do the North Cotton Farm Freemans. So Dumb and Dummy Dumb drew the short straw and got the Hobbit Burglar, otherwise known as me. I was absolutely completely useless the first fight, where there's like that giant spider that poops all over the place, like farts out a giant egg sack, and like little baby spiders come out everywhere.
Yeah.
And roots you like every 20.0 milliseconds. I was constantly either rooted or like couldn't attack it because there was poop everywhere. So anyway, completely useless, unless you count being dead as helpful in that way. And in that case, I rocked that boss because I was dead twice. Whoever designed that encounter hates melee people.
Yeah, I think we've discussed this way back in the day, but yeah, that is an especially hard dungeon on melee people, on melee DPS. Mm. It's fine when you're moving around.
My minstrel didn't have any problem, but she like pretty much like sat in the middle and healed everybody as they like ran around. And I think I've only done it with like a captain. No, it might have been your champion, and but you were tanking and a hunter. So like me and the hunter were in the middle shooting and healing and whatever. And we only had the one person dragging the poop around.
Yeah, when I was doing it with you and Az, though, it was a lot different because he was tanking and I was DPS, and it was pretty difficult to be like, okay, I'll go run in there. And
Yeah. I ended up dying the second time because I was desperately trying to kill an egg sac. And it was in the poop. So I died. And yeah. So I got to watch like a 20-minute Guardian minstrel battle because they couldn't die. But it took them a long time to kill that spider. Well, I sat there dead and just grumbled about how I hated this stupid thing. Second boss, I was more helpful in that I stayed alive, but I was still, we didn't have enough DPS. We failed a couple times because it's the dude with the slapping hobbits and the cauldron.
Right.
But it's timed. So we weren't killing it fast enough before the poison went into the well or whatever. Because my DPS apparently sucks. And I was the only DPSer. So we finally had to, Sodom was overpower, which he, no fault of his. He doesn't know how to use overpower well because he's always our tank.
Right.
He never has a chance to play in overpower. So he's doing that. I assume he's doing it fine because I have no idea how an overpower tank works.
Well, it's really difficult and it's not as good, especially if you're not specced for it. If you don't have the traits for it, then it's not as great. I mean, it's not.
He did the best he could.
It's not worthless
with what he had. I mean, it's not like it was horrible, but my DPS alone was not enough. And finally, we actually had to add Dummy Dumb and Angry Hands as well, and we just tried really hard not to get hurt by the poison eye thing, Cloud. He said he only had to come out of Anger Hands once to heal us up, and then he went right back in. And it was all three of us literally trying to kill this cauldron in order to do it in time.
And none of you are specifically specced for damage.
No, Dummy Dumb's a healer. Sodom's a tank. I'm supposed to be damaged.
Yeah, but you're specced in mischief.
Yes, I am.
So... All right, which is not horrible, but it's also not the DPS one. It's not Quiet Knife, so.
No. I mean, I did okay damage, yeah, but I wasn't going to kill that thing by myself.
But what I'm trying to express is that your main, to people who may not be familiar, is that your main role when with these guys is debuffing
CC.
And, crowd control, so.
So, but, and then I add whatever measly thing. But the third boss, holy moly. That boss had my name on his butt. I stabbed the crap out of it. I poked his butt till he was dead. It was no problem. And I felt a little better about myself because I was feeling really down.
That one's more coordination. So
it was like, stand here, run away, got it, back to poking his butt. Stand here, got it, run away. Okay, back to poking his butt. Like, I can do this.
Dracula says that sounds dirty and Jawai says that sounds really bad.
What?
Poking his butt and then running away.
That's what I do. I'm a butt poker.
Okay.
Sometimes I blow dust up butts.
It even says that in the show notes. I'm looking at that. I poked the crap out of his butt. So that doesn't sound any better either. So that's disgusting. Anyways.
Okay. I thought a little more about this and poking crap out of a butt is kind of gross. I'm sorry.
Poking crap out of a butt is the title of the show. All right, so Merrick actually did something this week. Yay for people. Yay for Kinnies who dragged me along to stuff. So the Kinnies were so excited that I was 84 that they were like, hey, let's drag Merrick on a skirmish raid. So I did. And Tea Party was really nice enough to pass on a tarnished symbol of Celebrimbor. She is such a sweetie. Actually, we tied for first, so we both had like a 94 or 97, I don't remember, but I had Baby Hobbit on my lap. In fact, I think we tweeted out.
I took a picture.
A picture, and I was trying to type that, let T have it, but somebody was in the way and was, I forget what, she had reached her limit, and it was...
She was playing with the soundboard, remember?
Yeah, and she reached her limit. I think she wanted to go upstairs.
She was like, roo, roo.
Yeah, she was going nuts, and I could not get to the lab, to the keyboard. So before I know it, I have the symbol. I think T was very nice. I now have a nice...
T is super nice.
She's such a sweetie.
So nice.
I have a now a nice second age axe one-hander. I used my extra legacy Starlit crystal slot on it.
And you mean the crystal of resonance?
The crystal of remembrance or whatever it
is.
I started Hitbold, Hidebold, Hootbold, H-Town. I like it, but I'm actually treating it more like a chaotic SimCity. Like, I've read the guide, and I know how to get the stuff, but most of my things are like, you need Kindred, and I'm like, oh, look, I'm Fred.
It's really not. I think that you're not reading it right, because I've tried to explain it to you twice.
I have read it. I understand, but
most of your stuff should not require Kindred.
Okay, well, you can go look it up. Anyways, I will,
and then I will sing the I Was Right song to you.
I am getting ready to turn off the camera and show you exactly what I think of you right now. But I got my gloves, and I hit 85. So, yay!
Yay! Mag's 85! Woo!
Yeah, so that's what I did this week. This is a lot. But like I said, it's kind of more fun to just play like, yeah, that sounds good. I will upgrade this. I don't know why I had to upgrade the library, though, to get my gloves. It's like, the gloves are...
It's random. I think I had to fix the lumber mill or something to get something. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you are... Yeah, you know, like, the gloves are held only... I don't know. They only have their power imbued when you have the library. Did you do the library? No, sir, you cannot have these gloves. They're sitting right here, but you cannot have them.
Help the damn library and you can have your gloves. They're being held hostage.
Okay, so this says I need, for this particular set. Now, the other sets do not require this
many. Oh, so it's
the
specific set that you're looking
for. It's like the Berserker set has like 3 Kindreds and the other ones only have 2. So this one says I need Kindred with the Wald, Ally with the Norcroft, Kindred with the Entwash, and Kindred with the Sootcrofts. It's like, why?
Wow, yeah. That's a lot of Kindreds.
Yeah, the other ones are like Kindred, Ally, Ally, Kindred.
Yeah, that's what mine was. Mine was Kindred, Ally, Ally, Kindred. And then, well, one more thing. I have to play tonight before I go to bed because last night I finished all my dailies in the Wald and I am 700 stupid rep away from Kindred.
Oh, have you done... No, the date... Oh, so you still have your Hitbold dailies.
Today. But I finished up yesterday. I did all the Wald, and then I was like, I wonder how close I am. And I opened it up, and I was like, really?
Oh, I saw it. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that
700 away.
Okay. Yeah, I would understand.
I actually ran around just to see if there was any quests at all or something that I could do. I apparently have done everything in the Wald. So, yeah, I'll get that done today.
Yeah, this is why when I go to the store and I look at like the hot, like the reputation things, that's why they're hot sellers, is because people get tired of doing this stuff. But that's okay.
Well, I have reputation things. I had no idea that I was going to be short or I would have used one. Like, I didn't even know. I was just, it was literally like, oh, okay, that's done. I wonder how close I am.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Kanan says I like having the built the town on one tune, equipping alts is easy. I think actually I kind of enjoy, at least at this point, because I haven't done it like every single day, upgrading the town. It just seems kind of cool to me.
It's kind of cool to see it.
I think it's a viable thing to say, I'm going to get an alt. I would like to get an alt here to equip my other alts as they come through, you know, just over time. Because it seems like it's cool. I mean, the armor's really good. And it's not going to just get horrible over time. I mean, so why not give it to a character as they come through? Hey, you're 85. Here's your set of armor.
But they still have to get their own tokens and buy the gear, right?
No, that's bound to account. So your,
you can share it?
Your minstrel can get Silvers, her gear, and put it in and
so
send
Golden
it to her.
So Golden Star has to buy it and give it to Silvers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Golden Star can do it and buy it and give it to Silver.
So Golden Star has to keep doing the stupid dailies.
Yeah, but you have like a bunch already.
But I haven't bought all my gear yet.
Yeah. Ebo says, Merrick, I tried to convince Golden Star that it was like doing the festival, the rebuild Hitbold festival.
I think I told him that he was crazy pants.
Wow, Kanan says, my Berg has bought 8 sets of armor so far. One more and you have a complete set.
Well, way to go, Kanan. Way to show us all up.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on to Town Crier.
And now, the Town Crier.
All right, so we got a producer's letter by Kate Pies, where she just kind of gives some hints and about what's coming up, like the Players Council.
Yeah, it was pretty short.
Yeah.
There's like four main highlights on it. Some of the stuff we knew about, like there's going to be housing revamp, which people are pretty excited about. That's nothing to be sniffed at. I'm personally excited for the housing revamp. I'm very, very happy that they've decided to give it some attention this year because we've been asking for it for almost 4 years now. But and every time we asked, it's like, we know, but it's just not on, you know, the priority list. So I'm glad it's finally on the priority list. I'm happy. We also know that there's going to be some significant changes to class skills and traits. They're going to be kind of reworking everybody. We don't know how yet, but, you know, that was mentioned. The interesting thing is the player council, like you already said, they're going to, and we don't really, like, people are kind of going bananas over this, and I don't know why, because we don't really know the details of it yet,
yeah.
But there's going to be some sort of communication directly with, like, a player council and Turbine to get feedback and try to get more input from the player. And Sapience has many times on the forums already said that it's going to be as inclusive as possible. It's going to be for everybody, free player, premium, you know, VIPs, US, UK, EU, wherever you live. They're trying to be as all-inclusive of everybody. It's not just raiders. It's not just casual people. They want to get a good mix of players. But we don't know how it's going to work yet, so let's kind of just chill.
Yeah,
a bit.
It sounds like they're still kind of fleshing it out from what Sapience is describing, where they've got things on a whiteboard and they're trying to figure out what's good, what's bad, and input from other developers and things like that. So it's all kind of in flux right now. But I think it's a good goal. I mean, to get
other games have done stuff like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, and it's not like these guys are going to be the Players Council forever or whatever. And they said they're not going to let other people lord it. You know, let people lord it over others and things like that. It's just going to be like a rotating group of people.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be, you know, it almost sounds like they're Palantir or whatever. Like, it's got to be under an NDA if they're...
Yeah, that's been thrown around. They're not sure what that...
So we'll see. We don't know, so...
They don't even know.
They don't even know. Nobody knows.
Yeah, but good things are on their way.
And finally, the letter discusses Western Rohan. K-Pies was actually talking about the Hornburg and Edoras, and how they're going to be bringing us the rest of Rohan in two parts. Wildermoor is going to be a northern region between the Wold and Fangorn, and it's going to be coming this spring, which is pretty soonish. And after the 6th anniversary, so after March, April, their anniversary is April. And later in the year, they're going to give us Western Rohan and Edoras and Helm's Deep and such like that.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like the Hornburg is coming, like, free, like an Enidwythe kind of thing.
No, I didn't hear that at all.
I'm just guessing. Good Lord.
No, you said it sounds like. That's what you said.
That's what it sounds like to me. Like, this is going to be, like, an expansion region, and then I gotta imagine, like, the rest of Rohan is going to be an expansion. It's gotta be.
So you think... Wait, say it again. You want...
Okay, so... Hornburg, that's the section, that's the one they say is coming after the anniversary, right?
No, Wildermoor.
Okay, Wildermoor.
The Hornburg is the Battle of Helm's Deep.
Okay, then I'm wrong. All right, so the first land sounds like Wildermoor. That sounds like that's going to be like
that
an Enidwythe.
It does sound like an Enidwythe. We don't know, folks, just to make that
yeah,
clear.
Yeah, we don't know. We're just guessing.
But I agree that I think that the Wildermoor does sound like a free to VIP. Like, if you have a subscription, it'll be free. Everybody else has to pay for it, like normal. Right. That's how it usually works. Like, you know, VIP's got Enidwythe with their subscription, and, you know, if you're not, you buy it like it was a quest pack, but...
Yeah, and then the rest of it sounds like it's got to be an expansion. I mean, you can't... It just sounds... I can't imagine you do like the rest of. I just remember the all-seeing eye, that section being like, oh God, not yet.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's, I agree. It's,
yeah, like
they
Evo
didn't
says
specifically
great...
say it was going to be an expansion, but it kind of makes sense it would be. Especially something as epic if like Edoras and Helm's Deep is going to be in there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's got to be a next. Yeah. This, and Andy B says they linked West Rohan into the next X pack. Yeah. They've got to. Although, you know, I was talking to Sip about this week. How it's kind of interesting to see other free to play games. They really don't do like quote unquote expansions. They kind of do like episodes that are purchased. I guess they're the same, but it's kind of interesting to still seeing Turbine just kind of calling it an expansion. Although, you know, it is like, does it really matter what you call it if it's pretty much dissimilar?
I have no idea.
I don't know. All right. I don't know what I'm talking about anyways. Okay. Community updates. Oh, so Sabian did a community update this week. He really just talks about the recent developer chat, and he gets his beard shaved off, which was part of the Extra Life thing, and he talked about Borwar that opened up this week.
Yeah, that was really short. I know people were waiting to see his beard get shaved, so if you missed it, it's up there.
By the way, Sabians, if you are listening, I say grow back.
I think he looks kind of cute. He kind of looks.
He does look cute and much younger, but
he looks like a baby.
It's just not the same.
I just want to shake his little baby cheeks.
I, for the record, do not, but they are cute. So I was just saying, I think grow back. It would be weird to talk to you again face to face and you don't have a beard. It would be weird.
You might want to grow back, because if I see you again face to face, I'm going to pinch your little baby cheeks.
I don't know. Maybe he wants his cheeks pinched. All right. Also, Bull Roar update 10 release notes. This is build. What are they on? They're still
update
on 1?
10. Yeah. This is the first one.
Yeah. Okay. So
I haven't seen any new release notes anyway.
Probably 0. And it's usually the first one.
I didn't have a number on the thing. So
lots of different changes. Mithril coins, the unifying, I don't know, Xbox points that you buy in the store.
No, okay. We've discussed this. The Mithril coins is a replacement for like Traveler's Writs and Defeat Tomes and anything that you bought from the store that's a kind of a consumable, but it just sat in your thingy, in your inventory, waiting to be used. And now the Mithril coins will go into your barter wallet. And they will be used by several services. So if I ran out of Travel Writs, I'm out of Travel Writs until I buy some more. But if I had enough Mithril coins, I can use the Mithril coins for this or for that. So it's like unifying things. And I know a lot of people are like, well, that's what TP is for. And you're making us do a middle thing. No, there already was a middle thing. They just kind of consolidated the middle thing into one item that can be used for many services, which is a good thing. Because now I can use it when I need it for several things.
I don't know. I guess I kind of want to see how it gets implemented. I buy their excuse, or not their excuse, their reasoning for using the Mithril coins is like, now you don't have a stack of writs that you're not going to use.
Or, you know, or just a stack of writs that's taking up space for no reason. These are going in your barter wallet.
But at the same time, it is another degree of separation from...
I don't know why people hate this so much.
I don't really hate it. It's just kind of... To me, it's almost a little confusing.
How is it more confusing than a writ?
Yeah, it's not. I mean,
everybody in the chat room's like, danger, and it's an excuse. It's just a... They renamed your writs. That's what they did, people. That's the only change that's going on here. They renamed your crap. It's still the same function. It's still for the same stuff. They just gave it a new name, and everybody is flipping out over it. It's like the evilest thing.
Would it be any different than instead of having like a bunch of stat tomes, it was like a stat tome that you could buy, and you then when you used it, like you had a stack of 5, and then when you used it, it said... Yeah, it said, what stat do you want to use? And then it would turn into the appropriate one. I mean, the only downside there is they couldn't scale the pricing for it, but they could just be like, here you go. You know, you can choose which one you want. I mean, it's kind of that kind of thing. It's just something that sits in your BARTA wallet until you use it. I personally don't have a problem with it, and it, I think, here's one thing to think about, though. If it creates less space in the store and we can get more useful items in there, then I'm kind of for that.
Well, that's going to be one thing that's going to be good for.
Like, they don't have to put, like, traveler's writs no longer need to be existing in the store. Because it's just like, you just use a mithril coin when the traveling thing comes up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, and I'm actually for that, because there needs to be fewer junk items in the store. Not that writs are junk.
Fewer junk items in my store, in my inventory.
It's like instead of having, it's like you combined a bunch of stuff into a utility knife. Or into a Swiss Army knife. And now you, instead of having all those things separately, you just have one thing that you use, and it can be multiple, has multiple different uses. So, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It is, now, I'm not saying that that's there's not a degree of separation that removes your thought process from turbine points to mithril coin, to spending mithril coins. Because that is there. But, at the same time, it's not like everything, you know, prices are getting jacked up and there's not an equivalent, you know, adjustment for how many coins is used for depending which writ it takes place, you know, takes the place of. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's a big deal. And if it, you know, if it cleans up the store, I'm kind of for it. So, I also don't use these things anyway, so.
Well, just so that, to stop all the stupid comments that I will get, I know that traveler's writs go in your barter wallet. I'm just saying, I just need one damn thing.
I like that they're account bound.
They're account bound per server, obviously. Like, they're like the Sapien said, it's like your marks and medallions. All your characters share that on your on that server.
Yeah. So, I don't think I just really it's there's other things that I would get upset about in the store before I got upset about. Yeah, I'm not upset about this.
I mean, if you don't, they're not changing anything. We still get the free revive every hour or whatever. They're not changing any of that stuff. All that stuff still operates. It's just you can use a mithril coin instead of a dread tome to revive yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's 3 mithril coins to be exact.
Yeah. Big changes to Fate. Fate is now going to have a better in combat. Was it power regen?
Power regen, yes.
Power pools are being consolidated.
This whole thing confuses me.
Will no longer adjust your power pool. It will actually give you, was it tactical resistance?
Not resistance.
I'm pretty sure it was resistance.
I'm trying to look for it right now.
Dread on defeat, remove from landscape. That's always good.
2 points of tactical mitigation.
Oh, that's right. Mitigation.
So Will's no longer affecting the size of your power pool. Fate is now like really bumping up your in combat power regen.
Also, critical chance.
It always did that though, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Wardens moving to agility.
Wardens are moving to agility. Agility will now provide 1 point of crit rating, whereas Fate will provide 2.5. Champions will now receive 6 points of parry from might rather than 4 points of block and 2 points of parry. Now, before you get too excited about all this, remember this is Bull Roar.
Right.
It can change.
And if you want it to change, you should.
Yeah, because you can make that happen.
Oh, and for you wardens wondering if some of those mitigations from might will be moved over to agility, they are not. I can't remember which one they are, but they are going to be adjusting that so that there are some gear with those mitigations like block and I forget what the other one that might does. So don't worry, they are thinking about that. The new armor sets are, and armor drops and loot drops are not in the instances or on the stuff. In fact, everything that Rock X has done has pretty much not been linked up yet, it sounds like.
That'll be coming in a future build. Man is working.
Okay.
I think I heard that the 6-man was working, but the raids were not.
Yeah. 3 raids in there.
Yeah, so the Bells of Dale, Flight to the Lonely Mountain, the Fires of Smaug, and the Battle for Erebor are the new instances that are right now on Bull Roar. In their absence, quest chain, which the Dumbs just started, is going to scale, which is good. There is another section of MTX buffs. I still don't know what MTX means. Mr. T experience.
Yeah, the Mr. T experience.
Buffs have been now have stackable durations.
I don't know what that means.
Does that mean it's stuff from the store?
I don't know. Like they're just like.
Oh, Krell says microtransactions.
Oh, that's not proper.
But where the X comes from?
Do they not understand that TX? I guess TX actually means, has meant transaction for a long time.
No, it means Texas.
It does mean Texas.
Anyway, microtransactions. That's why I don't know.
There's an actually microtransaction team. I gotta say, they gotta be like the most hated team. Not that they're bad, but just like, that's...
Probably most players are like me going, I don't know what the MTX team is.
Yeah, what's the MTX team? That's what they should do, is they should take off microtransaction and start calling themselves the Mr. T experience.
The Mr. T experience. Other news, forced emotes are going to be an enabled, disabled checkbox on your settings. Some people are confused of why this is so important. Probably most role players are going to check this.
And I'm going to take it off.
And then a smattering of people who just find forced emotes annoying, and everybody else will just ignore it because it's going to be enabled by default. But it will stop people who, like, make the captains make you kneel and the minstrels make you dance and all those festival items that make you, like, throw up and smear goo on you or set you on fire or any of the other things that Hoppy does to us repeatedly in dumb time. So I might turn it off on Silvers just to spite Hoppy. But so yeah, it's going to be on by default, but you can go in and turn that off. So if you don't like it, or role players typically don't like their character being forced to do things, or people who are in a concert don't like this because it usually interrupts the music. Oh, yeah. And so that's why it's there. Most people probably even ignore it. So it's a wonderful change for those who didn't like it. Everybody else will be like, meh, it's there. Dread on defeat effects that were removed. Now, when we heard from the dev chat, we heard that was going to be removed from landscape, but it appears on Bulra right now, it's just removed in general. Like, dying in an instance, dying anywhere, does not make Dread appear. And Brian actually told me that our minstrel skill that removes Dread is gone.
Yeah, when we were talking about that, it kind of seems like that would be something that they would replace with something else.
Yeah, well, I went to Boror and took screenshots of all the minstrel skills. I just have not had time to sit and like compare them to like the lore book or something yet to see what the new progression of skills is and where that gap happens, like 62, when it becomes improved, what happens to it, that kind of thing.
Krill says the RK skill is still there, so they're probably just in transition with it.
I was still interested in looking to see what
it seems like happens. This release is just kind of half done anyways, which is not uncommon, I wouldn't think.
Let's see, there's some
standardizing names of relic tiers so you can tell what they are.
That's nice.
That would be nice, because there's sometimes where I'm just like, where it's like, here you go, sir. You can get a sealed relic. It is this one, and this one. I'm like, I'm not going to look that up. That sounds like a champion one.
You're talking about like those boxes that you have to go and deconstruct or whatever?
Yeah, well, yeah, relics in general. Like, yeah.
That's what we were talking about, though.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
I don't know. I don't know anything about these stupid things.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think that you're right, because that's what I'm guessing. But it's always like, relic box of the star sun, and I'm like, what the crap is that?
And Pine Leaf says that's right, because it's like, seriously, it's like, here, this is the relic of the crags, and that's an actual one. And it's like, I don't, what is that?
Andy V says the sealed relic of the farting badger. Like, I don't know. Do I All want right. this?
That's a contender for the name of the podcast. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so if they need to make it so obvious that this like Golden Star roll on this one. That's like the name of it.
Yeah. It's just kind of like, I don't know which one that is. And if it's not, I'll just melt it into something I can use. It's fine. Yeah. Let's see.
It's a pretty big patch.
Yeah, it is pretty. It is pretty big. And oh, my favorite. This is one of my favorites. Cooks can now use ovens as well as campfires for trail food. Yay! Because it's not. I'm even a hunter, and it still annoys me that I have to make a campfire because eventually, if I'm cranking through it, like eventually that campfire like
it doesn't go, last.
It
long
doesn't
enough.
Last, and I'm. And this is me. I'm seriously. I'm here's me. I hit the craft button, and then I look at Netflix.
Well, I think that's what everybody does. Nobody and I'm like, watches.
Or I'm like playing on my phone and I'm like, oh man, my thing went away. I gotta start another campfire.
Well, these are just like some of the highlights. You should go and read it. There's like a whole bunch of stuff. A bunch of instances, raids, and skirmishes are now going to be able to use remote looting, such as the library, the school, Hollow Knight, and Inn of the Forsaken, all the Great Barrows, all the Innuminous, all the Fornust, and all their in their absences will have that remote looting for like the chests enabled.
Yeah. Oh, and Ebo says his poor cook was always begging hunters. Yeah, if I saw somebody using my campfire, I would always throw another one down because I always assumed that they probably didn't have enough time to finish it. Eh. Yeah. Oh, and we should say, did we mention character copy?
Oh, not yet, but the character copy is available. Yeah, I copied Golden Star over this morning.
They did a wipe, you know, after they released it. And
you know, well, it's fine. Yeah. I copied Golden Star over this morning.
That kind of always happens. And there was also a developer diary on Mithril Coins.
We already talked about
that. And we already talked about that. But there was one if you wanted more information on it. Nice screenshots and stuff.
Well, it's just showing you the difference of it's... It also is going to show you how many of those Mithril coins you have. Like right now, if I use my Traveler's Writ, I have no idea that I ran out.
Right. Oh, one thing. Mr. T experience. While we're talking about you microtransaction people, can we gift things? Because I owe Golden Star's Captain a Traveler's Writ. Sorry.
What?
So, moving on.
Oh, you mean you're going to use it to the beacon?
No, I did it on accident already.
Well, then I can't go to the beacon, you dork. That was my only one.
Why surprise!
What did you use it for?
Nothing. Anyways.
What stupid thing did you use it for? She's sitting in Esteldin.
No, she wasn't. She was in Rivendell.
What's wrong with Rivendell?
Nothing. I'm just saying. It was an accident.
I hate you.
It was an accident! I can summon you there. I'm 60-something. I can run there.
Summon me to what?
Rohan? Oh, no, I can't.
No, you can't. We already had this discussion.
You can buy Traveler's Writ.
I'm not buying crap.
You can buy Mithril coins.
I'm annoyed with you.
So, in store news, the weekly store sale. This week's free sample is a Traveler's Writ.
No, I'm just kidding. It's not.
I'm funny. Max Morales.
Really, really not.
It was a Traveler's Writ.
Yeah, I'm going to log in your character and just use all your consumables at once. See how happy you think it is.
It was one. It was a single.
It was my only one. I was saving it.
For what?
Not going to Esteldin.
Oh, you're probably bound there. I don't know. All right, so it's in Max Morale and Power Scroll times one. Use the code MAXMP2 to get this.
Yeah, it's a 90-minute boost to morale and power based on your level. Are you still laughing about how awesome you are using my consumables without my permission?
It was an accident. I didn't know what that symbol stood for. I don't use
that. I'm going to hit you because I have screenshots on our blog of what that looks like.
I recognized it after I used it.
I'm so annoyed.
I'm like, this is different.
I'll just use Golden Star stuff. It's fine.
I got you. I got you pretty much almost done with jewelry making.
I don't care. I don't use her. You use her. And apparently you just use Mama's stuff.
Oh, I'll buy you a cupcake.
Oh, sold.
All right. All is forgiven. However, I will be out after this going to get a cupcake.
For real. I will tweet it. If I don't get a cupcake, there will be blood.
Chocolate frosting blood. All right. This week's stat tomes are on sale. This gets a thumbs up because they're permanent. And they help.
And yeah.
I think a lot of tanks are going to be wanting fate.
Fate?
Yeah. Well, will, actually.
Why?
Because.
Medication?
The tactical resistance is really good. And my will is horrible on my guardian.
It always has
It's been. Horrible. I mean, that's not isolated to my guardians. Just there's no will on my stuff. I mean, there's never been need to be will on my stuff.
Well, you know, now is a good time for, let's say, a warden's needing agility.
And I tell you what, 50 will is probably not going to be something to sneeze at, especially as low as it is on my character.
Well, is that the limit you can get? It's 50?
I don't know. What did they go up to now? I think they originally went up to 5, but don't they go up to 7 sometimes? Don't they occasionally release like 6 and 7 or something?
Oh, yeah. They used to be limited. I don't know if they're permanent now or not, honestly.
Yeah, I haven't. Because I think I did most of Might and Vitality on my Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting. Man, it's not a bad idea, though, to stock up on that will.
Dusky Nimblefoot Goat is 20% off. Do not buy this or I will bite you. Because this is garbage.
You get a free one that's like 48%. But the Dusky Nimblefoot Goat has the same amount of health and is only a little bit faster.
And
it's not worth it.
746 turbine points on sale.
That's horrible. That is not worth that.
It's garbage. Do not buy this. I mean it. I'm looking right at you. Do not buy this. Sometimes the Thorns Hall goat or whatever it's called, the white goat appears in the store.
The Thorns Hall. Yeah. No.
It's something else.
It's a 250.
It's a pretty one. That one sometimes appears in the store and it's kind of expensive. But if you're looking for something in game, you can go to Thorns Hall, get the rep by the rep goat from the dwarves. You can even do that before you get to Moria so you can be prepared when you enter.
If you really want a goat, it's not that hard to get up the faction to get one.
During a festival, there's an ale association that'll give you a goat as well.
You can even go through Moria and probably get the... I think it's the miners.
If you say so. I don't know. Yeah.
Especially now that you can take the reputation drops and transfer them between the different factions.
Jayway is also saying that the treasure hunt has goats.
Oh, yeah, it does. It has that coin one.
The coin pooping one.
I wish I had that one. I don't
have the coin pooping goat. I have the coin pooping horse on Golden Star. The pony.
I want war steed goats. I really do. It'll never happen, but I want one.
I will take them if they go wah.
I would like to think that Doris would be like, hey, these Rohan guys... These war steeds are awesome. We're breeding goats to do this. I'd like to think so. Also, 100% XP boost is on. I used one of these. I used this on my goodie bag, and I'm going to write a post about it. Because I have mixed feelings about it, and we give it a meh. I still 100 XP was really nice, and it got me through.
Some people use it. Some people say, man, I can just do it myself.
It got me through 85. It gave me double mount experience at the same time. An hour was just long enough to get a sizable number of quests. Now, also, I did tasks, and I redid my task. I also made sure I had several dailies lined up in the same place. Yeah, I still think that you need to have an accessible amount of quests to be able to get done in one area. I don't think monster experience by itself is very good, but if you can get that quest experience turned in, it actually turns out to be pretty good, and you could probably crank out a level in an hour if you did it just right.
There's nothing wrong with it. I don't hate it. A man doesn't mean it's bad, folks.
No, it just means like...
It's but situational.
It's situational because it's also very expensive and that hour time is still an hour. It does last... It doesn't go away if you log off, though. It does still, you know, the timer stops when you log off, so.
Okay. Warsteed experience boost. I give this a man, too, because it's possible somebody would want it, but honestly, I would never, ever buy this.
I don't think I would, too.
I mean, it's borderline thumbs down for me, but,
I can say if you were just really wanted to get your mount...
As fast as possible.
25% for 90 minutes. I mean, if you're not at level cap already, for the same price, you could do the 100 XP boost.
Does it affect the horse?
Yeah. The 100 XP,
Well, then I would prefer that, then.
Yeah, I mean, if you're not at level cap, even if you are at level cap.
Because 100% is better than 25%.
It's just 30 minutes less, but it's 75% more bonus. I'm pretty sure it affects mounts.
I don't know. But anyway, this is there. I didn't level up my Warsteed very fast at all. Some people are like, it's so easy. And it's not difficult because you just do stuff and it levels up. But I never once looked at my horse's experience to be like, how close am I to the next point? I didn't care. It happened when it happened and I haven't paid any attention to it. So that's why I would never buy this. I did just fine with my farting around and goofing off and not knowing what I was doing. And I didn't feel like I was lagging. You know?
All right. Steed of the Kundalar is available. It's another mount. Store exclusive.
Yeah, it's a store exclusive mount. It's modeled after the Easterling type stuff.
It's not a bad looking mount.
It's got a mohawk thing going.
I almost bought it, but when I saw the screen, the store icon looked a lot cooler, I thought, than the actual mount.
Yeah, and it dies funny too. Let me read the comment from
Manatee. That's not right, but
no, but thank you. he says it dies strangely. Only the parts that die, there are a thin broken strip on the neck that is right below the armor plates. It looks to be a blanket under the armor, and the armor straps break it up. The only thing that dye on the body of the armor is the blanket right under the saddle, the part that stays green no matter what dye is used. Also, the whole thing dyes really dark, so whatever dye you use, it'll lean towards a darker tone. He did send me a screenshot, but I had not had time to even look at it, of it dyed. So I'll add that to the post as soon as I have some time to put that together. It's the normal 1,995 turbine points. It is 68% speed. It's 250 morale. It is a per character purchase, and it does have a Warsteed appearance with it. And it's there if you want it.
It's there. Okay.
I don't know what else to say about it.
Yeah. What else can we say? All right. It's there. All right. Andang wrote a really nice article about his year of writing for CSTM.
It was very flattering. It was very nice of him to say such nice things about us.
They're very nice.
And everybody. But, you know, I mostly focused on the me.
And kind of talks about him starting as a, you know, as a writer and then moving into doing a bit of podcasting and then hosting Google Chats and going to Mythmoot and meeting Dr. Corey Olson and...
He's done our update talks.
Yeah, he's done a lot of the update talks. Yeah, it's very cool.
Happy anniversary, Andang. Thanks for being here with us.
And let's see. This week's poll is predicting when the epic story will conclude.
Now, honestly, this poll is not closed yet. And the new poll doesn't go up till tomorrow because, remember, it's Friday. It's not Saturday.
Right.
But as of right now... There are 1,113 voters on this poll, and 31% say never. Turbine/Warner Brothers will shut the game servers down before we reach Mordor. 25% say 3 years within the next 3 to 4 expansions. 20% say 4 years within the next 5 to 6 expansions. 12% say 5 years, not in the foreseeable future of expansions, but sometime. And 7% say 6 years. 6+ years, so more than 6 years, not for a long time. 4% say 2 years. The next expansion beyond Western Rohan will be Mordor. And 1% said other, and I have no idea what those 10 people said. So, go ahead and let me tell you. I see what your answer is. Tell me what you think.
I used to think that we would actually get to Mordor, but now I'm not sure. I kind of think that I don't know if we'll ever get there. I mean, there is the chance of...
such a pessimist, like everybody else on this poll.
We could get to Mordor, and then they could go into routing people out of Mordor, routing the armies out of there, moving into the Easterling area.
But the books don't end at Mordor, you know that, right?
I know. They go back. And then there's the Shire and the raising of the Shire and things like that. So there is a chance. I don't know. I mean, I was pretty close. If I had a second choice, it would be 3 years within the next. Well, yeah, no.
You ready for my answer?
The 4 years. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
My prediction is 4 years because this anniversary is going to be the 6 year anniversary plus 4 is 10. The 10 year anniversary, we're going to Mordor. That's a huge number for an MMO, a huge event for an MMO. They match. It's a match made in heaven, I'm telling you, 4 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You're not buying it at all.
I don't know. It's possible. It's very possible. And Jahweh, correct me, it's the scouring of the Shire, not the raising of the Shire. Thank you. I don't know.
Who cares, Jahweh?
If you want me to be absolutely serious, it probably depends on what Middle Earth Enterprises will allow. Such is the way with Lord of the Rings licensing.
So yeah, you're worried about the wrongest, stupidest stuff.
Sorry. Well, worrying about the wrongest, stupidest stuff brings us to Riddles in the Dark, where it's a bi-weekly podcast by Dr. Corey Olson, the Tolkien professor.
And we missed one, and so we have two this week.
And David Kale and Trish Lambert, all of who know way more than we do. And we discuss what may and may not happen in the next Hobbit film. So, how will the film treat Bjorn's relationship with the goblins? A, he resents them for displacing his mountain territory, book answer. He has a more personal grudge against them from his own family or family history. They killed my parents, blah, blah, blah. His hatred against the goblins is in some way linked to Thorin and his family history. He has no particular grudge against the goblins at all.
It has to be A.
It has to be.
Like, if it's B, I will be so annoyed.
I would actually go with E. Who's Bjorn? Is he actually confirmed for the Hobbit?
How could they do this without Bjorn?
I don't know how they do it without, I don't know.
Without what? A cheese sandwich?
I don't know. Jackson made up a whole bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, but it's got to be, no. He's going to be in it.
Oh, it looks like he is. He is in 2013-2014, played by Michael Pierce-Brandt. Somebody I've never heard of before.
Pierce-Brandt.
McHale.
I don't know. Is that how you say it?
I guess. He's a Swedish actor.
He's handsome.
Wow. He's a very handsome guy.
So, yes. It's going to be A. They resent him.
Yeah. I'm going to say
if it's like because they killed my wife and I will just be like, what the what? Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, that one was an easy question. Question number two. Where is Thrain now, i.e. in real time in the movie? A, dead, the book answer. B, alive and imprisoned in Dol Guldur. C, alive and imprisoned elsewhere. D, alive and not a prisoner. E, this will not be answered on screen.
Didn't they touch on this? I thought they already talked about this.
I thought in the movie, I mean, the whole thing like...
Because didn't Thorin ask where he got...
Well, he gets it from his dad, but I don't know if he said, your dad's dead. He said his dad was... I mean, his dad went mad, like cuckoo pants. But, you know, I think that this question probably came up. I haven't listened to their podcast on this one yet, but I think the question came up because... Remember that one... I don't know if it was a trailer or what, but you see, like, Gandalf fighting the old crazy dude?
Right. I'm pretty sure it's A. Yeah, and then we had the question of, like, is he in a prison or open prison or whatever.
Right, we've talked about this before, but I the whole thing is, like, you know, Thrain gave the key to Gandalf to give to his son, and then he died, right? Like, that's how the book works. I don't see why they would change that. Like, what is the purpose of having him imprisoned somewhere? They're not going to go save him. Like, if they
yeah, he's dead. It's, like, it's got to be.
If you have him in a prison, they're just be like, well, my dad's there, so he's good. So let's just continue on to the Lonely Mountain.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's dead. There's no way. I mean, else, why wouldn't he be there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because if I was trying to travel to the Lonely Mountain and I heard my dad was captured somewhere, I'd be like, screw that mountain. We're going to go save my dad.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
All right. And with that, we'll raise your glass.
Everyone, please, raise your glass with me.
We could totally save your dad, but instead, we're going for the dragon.
That's right. That would be probably Baby Hobbit's answer.
But that's not what Galinador says this week in his segment.
Hi-ho, Merrick, Golden Star, and the fabulous Baby Hobbit. Captain Galinador of the Friends of Frodo, hailing from Vila here. I've once again come to spin a tale of the stranger side of Lotro, bringing to light the hidden subplots, Easter eggs, and wild fantasies that only the slightly mad can discern, and clearly I'm more than qualified in that score. Like most of my explorations into the depths of Turbine's craft, I have to go with what details and artifacts have been left behind, the things that seem out of place and unfinished. Today's tale is about an unfinished dungeon that might have been a truly epic adventure for the elf and dwarf beginner region, Erin Loon, the Blue Mountains. And from what I have detected, this never completed dungeon would have been in roughly the same space as the current treasure hunt grounds are placed. But first, before I explore the nature of the dungeon, let's take a quick review of the terrible ancient past Tolkien had in his history that inspired it. The Blue Mountains are the last tiny bit of an entire continent of Beleriand. It was sunk at the end of the First Age in a great battle of the Valar. There are many adventures in the dawn of time that took place just west of these mountains. It is one of these epic adventures of the First Age that I believe was the inspiration for today's topic of speculation. I will not attempt to tell the whole story of the Cimmerils, even in summary, but suffice to say that at one point in the story, a large group of elves, including the famous Galadriel, had to cross from Valar to Middle-earth by way of a northern route, walking from ice floe to ice floe, the Helcarachas of grinding ice. It was a terrible journey and cost the elves many lives, while the act of crossing shifting ice would have been a daunting task by itself. This was the Middle-earth of the time of Morgoth, when all was sunless and dark, and monsters ruled the land. One of these monsters must have followed the elves and gotten stuck in the crags of the Blue Mountains, lost for 2 ages, and Turbine was preparing a coming-out party for this beast. The evidence of the scale of the dungeon can be guessed by the numerous dwarf and elf ruins scattered over the land near where it was to lay. Perhaps it was going to be a great barrow of Erin Loon, a place for the beginning players to learn how to group. But the nature of the horror is so overwhelming that I suspect that even greater epic battle was planned, perhaps the first 12-man raid. Well, whatever the plan was, they soon realized they overstepped their license. Lawyers must have gotten involved, and Turbine was told Silmarillion content was not part of their license. So, without even a chance to fight back, the great beast was put down. But not all was lost. Some developer, perhaps working on his own without authorization, decided that the great beast should make some sort of appearance, even if it could only stand as silent sentinel guarding passes that no player can go. You can find the monster standing guard over the hill off the northern road to Thorin's Hall in the Valley of Thame. You have to go up a shallow, snowy rise off the main road to find it. In map coordinates, it's 17.6 south and 102 west. It's safe to visit, but I'd hold off until you hear my full tale. I have looked at the face of this monster, and while it is not active and only sits quietly waiting for some developer to return it to life, I can tell it was going to be a mighty monster. Oh, I hesitate to describe the beast. This is a family podcast, is it not? Well, I will attempt to censor myself so not to terrify those with more sensitive natures. The beast is bulbous and segmented, but it slithers on the ground like some sort of mollusk. It has no visible legs. It had no hair or fur, but its flesh is unnatural, the color of a winter storm. Along its body, there are these black, what can I call them, black spots, but hard, crystal-like, with the ability to burst into blue flame in the heat of battle. Its arms are thin, all sinew, black and pointy, and too many joints and sharp javelin-like fingers. On its head are two mighty pointed horns or antlers, thin and spiky, with dangerous-looking. But one can think of only the scores of ageless elves who were caught and sent the fast way back to the halls of Mandos by those spikes. Its eyes are hard and cold, yet they can burn. But most disturbing is its mouth, large and grinning, way too wide for its face, if it can be called that a face at all. There is no doubt that even a fat hobbit could be swallowed whole by that mouth. Any creature this fearsome must have been the end boss of a vast dungeon. Still, I needed more evidence than this, some hint of the backstory. Nothing could be found in the Blue Mountains, but there were living elves who must have seen this monster in its prime during the First Age. Galadriel was one, and she resides now in Lothlorien. Perhaps the same developer may have hidden more clues there. So I traveled to the land of Golden Woods and wandered hidden ways under melon trees, where after a very long night of hunting, I found a group of elves singing an odd song, one they never repeated again. Unfortunately, I too forgot to push the button and did not record the music. Still, from memory, I transcribed Sindorin, and perhaps together we can attempt to translate the words to common tongue and learn the nature of the beast. The first line went, Kilivike, I lost him, Nagel Efe Endriel. Well, Kilivike, that's got to be the name of the beast. Some root word is ice in the possessive form. Lost him? Well, that has to come from the same source as Lothos, a forest show, the Icemen. There are references to ice and creatures in the snowy lands. No doubt this is the story of the elves crossing the Helkeries, grinding ice. Fair Enderal, a laughing smoke, a spirit? Yeah, that sounds right. The next part went, Yissen Simpetu Mogilnim. Mogilnim? Black muzzle? Can there be any more doubts? And more description of black eyes and burning rocks in the next part that sound like Ah Ehen Nargon Karu. The next line, Kivleke Lostam Ne Cinder Barnatra. Well, Cinder Barnatra. That's the wise say it's but a tale? Probably just something to keep younger elves from getting too scared when singing the tale. It continues. Ha Naglas Pengan, Ah Sirakadi, Ga Anthean Aku Ad. My pronunciation is horrible, I know. But Naglas, that's made from snow. And this tale every, except for the youth, young ones? A reference to the First Age, and Wisdom the Valar, certainly. Goth Aron Anu, well, no doubt what that means. Anu? Life. Yeah, the monster came to life. I guess we're not too familiar with Elvish. This all sounds peculiar. But remember, I heard it as a song, and that does bring it all together as a whole. So while I cannot really carry any sort of tune, I guess I'll make a stab at recreating the Elvish chant as I heard it. But first, Golden Star or Merrick, I sent you an email with a link to a screenshot of the beast. This might be a good time to paste it into the chat. Cavakilastum nagafer odogu. Yasinsem pattern no gonem ahara nagaku. Cavalila lastem nasindar by nasha. Ha ho glass pa is the arti babko oshar ardon. That's about as much as torture I can put you through. Clearly, it was a scary beast. Perhaps it's best the turbine leave him where he's at. I will leave you once again to think of this horror, and be glad you probably never have to meet him in-game. Hi-ho, we will meet again. Pinkie Pie, promise.
Alright, thank you, Galnador, for that.
He totally got me on that, by the way.
Yeah, he did.
Like, I was like, and he gave me the same instructions of, like, don't click the link until I say so. And so I'm like, I want to click the link. But I waited for it, and then I just about burst out laughing. For those of you who are listening to us audibly and cannot go and see a picture, it's a picture of a snowman. He was describing Frosty.
Yes. All right. So, Lilicate Buggins writes, Dear Golden Star, I was happily surprised.
Little Kate.
Little Kate.
Lily Kate.
All right, whatever. I never said I was good at pronunciation, people. Dear Golden Star, I was happily surprised when logging into CSTM to find out my screenshot of Lil Kate Buggins was featured on the front page of your website. After I had run around to each member of my family to get the required congratulations and pats on the head, I started thinking about the shot's origins. The shot was one of a batch when Lil Kate adventured to the Misty Mountains to get a postcard for the Journey to the Middle Earth competition featured on the Facebook and Twitter. Sadly, these two Oliphants didn't make it into the final postcard, but another of their Oliphant family did. Even though I was a little unwilling to spam my non-Lotro playing friends with my Middle Earth adventures, I thought the lure of the prize of turbine points balanced my best buddy's minor annoyances. In the end, none of my friends seemed to mind. In fact, I discovered one person I knew in Mum's group also played, which was nice. I spent quite a lot of time and effort in making the postcards, which I then posted to my Facebook wall. I chose outfits to fit the area where Lil Kate would be. I picked suitable locations. I looked for interesting fauna and flora. I even posed in numerous different emotes to find something worthy for my numerous Facebook audience. Then came the sifting through all the screenies to find decent images, then whittling it down to several, more like 14 to 20, to try and make the postcard with. Next was loading the shot into the postcard frame on the Facebook application. Sometimes my number one shot just didn't work at all in the frame and it had to be discarded, switched for an alternative. Once that was all done, there came the caption. Not as easy as it seems. Now, once happy with that, post it to Facebook. All finished. Repeat times 14... In my case, a few more than 14. The advertised competition asks you to check back often to find out what news of who has won and clues to the next areas to adventure in. This all began in September. The last area featured was mid-December, I think, and since then there has been a complete silence as to the winners and prizes. I wonder if you would investigate this on my behalf, as I'm curious to know what has happened to this promotional adventure. I would have liked to win at least one of the prizes, as I still have to get my big wallet for all the tokens and things like Lil Kate's bags and overstuffed with cosmetics and crafting items. Right now, you can still quote-unquote enter and submit postcards and have them entered to be judged. Lil Kate Buggins, Winfola, Maine, and Arkenstone Clone. Emilite Noakes, LMB, Landreville.
So I did look into this for Lilicate, and Turbine did respond to me and say that the contest is over. I did go to their Facebook and searched, and in December they announced a winner. So I think that Lilicate and I were talking back and forth, and we think that we both were confused. We thought that there was going to be 14 winners, one for each region. Apparently there was only one winner. And the way that it was worded, it was like, well, you know, have 14 chances to win, and that's why we were like, oh, there's going to be 14 winners, but apparently, you know, you submit each region 14, you know, you submit to each of the 14 regions, and you are entered to win the one prize. So, I forgot who won it, but it was announced on their Facebook page in December, and the contest is confirmed as over. So,
one winner?
And I didn't get any more feedback from Turbine. They just told me the contest was over. So,
no, I'm sorry. There's not one winner. Every postcard you create makes you eligible for our biweekly drawings.
We only saw one winner.
For 1,500
I only could
Turbine
find one
points.
Winner, you know.
Yeah, no. Sorry.
You're right. Biweekly drawings. I don't know. I could only find one winner, but
I think
maybe I missed some. And the contest is over anyway, so even though you can, like Lily Kate says, you can keep posting, and it is still on their Facebook page, I don't think the Turbine has confirmed that it's over, so.
Okay.
But you're right, it did say biweekly, and it's the page is still live, which is kind of weird, but whatever.
Some went wrong there. That's what I think. All right, so I have no proof of that, by the way. Irelog says in this week's in player achievements, Irelog Muscle Gut. Oh, I like that last name. Officer, may it be a Rittermark, finally climbed to the top of the beacon and is glad he won't ever have to do that again.
Me neither.
Hit Kindred with Entwash. Only Sutcrofts to go.
Congrats. Sarlo says, give me a D. D, give me an E. E, give me an E. E, give me a D. D, give me an S. S, what's that spell? Deeds. What was that? Deeds. One more time, but louder. Deeds. Sarlo on Rittermark, trying to bring some excitement to an otherwise vanilla week.
Very well done. Cam Gilnell says, Cam Gilnell on Silver Load. Call me Cam. Hit 63 with a full set of Moria raid gear.
You're awesome.
And began to lay the smackdown in Mirkwood. Also took the fight to the Watcher, and after dying four times, the Fellowship came out victorious. Hey, congratulations, and good on you for not giving up.
Yeah, that's great. Steven writes, leveled my crafting alt Bellowin, Loremaster of Maiar, from level 7 to level 30 just by harvesting and processing a few hundred fields respectively crops. He did it just 7 to 30.
Wow. Very well done.
I got at least 2 Tarnished Crests of Rohan that way, and that was the original reason for harvesting so many fields. I promised at the latest, when reaching level 45, I will get my allies and enter Moria in order to learn to play my class. Yeah, he hasn't played his class since level 7. Oh my gosh.
Very well done, sir.
Didn't we read that they're going to reduce the crafting experience?
Yes.
So you only got a limited time left.
All right. So how can people contact us if they would like to do so?
You can visit our blog at casualstrolltomodor.com. We welcome your email to podcast at casualstrolltomodor.com. We're available to follow on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and Steam. You can leave us a review on iTunes, and we would be very, very pleased to read it and tell you thank you on the show. You can listen to us live every Saturday, except for this one.
Right.
At 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Saturday at 9:30 Eastern is our normal broadcasting time when we're not invited to go eat dinner at our friend's house, who is an excellent cook.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in and listening. We'll talk to you again next week.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to A Casual Stroll to Mordor. For more information, go to www.casualstrolltomordor.com or visit us on mymiddleearth.com.